I want to apologize for my voice. I had a little bit of a chest cold. It settled in my throat, but we'll still get, going here. I just want to tell you folks how much, and it's amazing to me, how much you can fall in love with a church family in a very short time. We've been here for 14 weeks, and you have all become very dear to us. And we won't forget you. I will be praying for you, and we'll definitely be missing you, and so thankful for your prayers and the prayers of your pastor. And, it's the Christian life is where friends are family and family are friends. And so thank you so much for being our home church away from home. And what a blessing that we can say that. And appreciate you all so very much. I don't know about you, but I'm thrilled. Is there water in here? I'm thrilled about last night. I didn't get to bed till early this morning. But that's okay. I enjoyed every minute of it. And I don't know about you, but one word comes to mind when I think about last night, and that's wow. And I'll even say it backwards, wow. I'll say it upside down, mom. I'll say it sideways, Bob. Amen. But it just a miracle. Do you understand? No one has ever, in the history of politics in the world, ever had a comeback like we saw. That's ever been attacked so much. Who can do anything that he wants to do, go anywhere he wants to go. But he said, I'm doing this for the American people. That's pretty amazing. And so we need to pray for his safety, the safety of his family. I don't know if you saw Barron last night, but President Trump and I are the exact same height because when I met him, we were talking eye to eye. But Barron is like, he must be like 6'7" or something, that young man. And he's probably going to do something as well in time. But it proved to me several things. It proved that the American people woke up. Amen. And they were tired of what's been going on these last 4 years. Amen. That God is not through with our country. Amen. And he wants to do something more with our nation. Now, I say that, but I also say the battle is on. So now is not the time to simply say, okay, we can relax now for 4 years. No, no, no. Now is the time that we need to continue to pour it on. That we need to continue to get into our Bibles, to stay on our knees, to go out soul winning. As I've said before, may I say again, the most patriotic thing you can do is to give a tract out and see someone come to the knowledge of the truth of Jesus Christ. It's the most patriotic thing you can do. And we've been saying that from our country's inception. So we need to realize that, hey, and then pray that God's people don't just take their ball and go home for a while. We need to understand that, they're going to do everything they can still to try to destroy our nation, to kill the unborn, because the demons of Satan truly, I believe, are being personified in many of the opposition. So, no matter what happens, though, there's one thing we need to do, and I want to take you to 2 Timothy tonight. And for sake of time, as soon as you find that, please stand up for the reading of God's Word. Now, Paul's talking to his young son in the ministry, so to speak, this young man he's mentoring. And I think it's very interesting in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he wants Timothy to know something. And he says this know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. So, he says, it's not going to be an if. It's going to happen. And I don't know about you, but I truly believe we're in the last of the last days. Perilous times are here. And I know we won a great victory. And the fight's on, but at least now we have taken the high ground. And it goes on to say this, and it lists a catalog of corruption. Interesting to me that sin is the same and human nature is always subjected to that sin. It says this, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, isn't that interesting? Can't we look around and say, that's America today? Can't you see all of those sinful attributes in our country? I mean, they're prevalent. Amen? Just thankfully, they're not in the majority. It goes on to say this, having a form of godliness. So they try to, you know, pretend that they have some form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, and he talks about some people there and gives them, the fact that these people have been given over to a reprobate mind, corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Look at verse 9, though. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men as theirs also was. I think that happened to a certain extent last night, don't you? I think we saw America say, that's enough. I mean, it's been a long time since any presidential candidate has received the electoral votes in order to win, plus the popular vote. Right. Amen. Now that's, again, a miracle. Let's go on. And I love it because God's still in control. He says, you know, there's a point where they're not going to proceed any further. But thou hast fully known, and look at this, seven things, my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. And then he says, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all, isn't that good? Not some, not most, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Now, he's not painting a pie in the sky either, because he says, all that live godly. See that? Yea, and all, in verse 12, that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. He said, I did, and everyone's going to a certain extent. Now, I don't think many will suffer the type of persecution that Paul suffered, thankfully. But all will suffer persecution. Amen? Let's go on. He goes into the fact that, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You say, Brother Harding, is it going to get better? No. The nature of man's going to get worse. Waxing worse and worse. Now, our country can become stronger. Our country can see victory. Our country can reestablish law and order. Amen? But the culture and the depravity of man will continue to get worse and worse. So don't expect this to get any better. It's not going to. But we can still make a difference by being living epistles and spreading the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, look at this here as well. So, knowing all of these things, and before we sit down, what should we do? Well, it gives us that very thing in verse 14. But continue. You see that? No matter what happens, no matter what befalls us, no matter what occurs in our nation, one thing God wants us to do is continue. Now, how does he want us to continue? He even tells us that as well. He says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So you say, well, what things? Well, go back to verse 10, those seven things. That's what Paul wants Timothy to continue in. Doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. You see that? And that's what we need to do as well, knowing who God has instilled in us these same things. Let's cultivate them. Let's continue in them. And then allow those things to control us, because you're going to surrender yourself to one thing or another every day. You're going to surrender yourself to the flesh, or you're going to surrender yourself to the Spirit. And we need people surrendering to the Spirit, because that's what we need to drive us. Heavenly Father, as we look now into this passage, undertaken in a very special way, once again, Lord, I pray as we come into church and out of a very busy culture where there's so many different things and so many concerns going on, and Lord, the burdens of life and the sometimes the maladies of the physical body, all of these things, Lord, but help us now to still our minds and our hearts. Help us to look towards you. Oh, dear God, provide to us your blessed comforter, the Holy Ghost of God, through and by your unction. Help him, Lord, to allow your word to sink deeply into our minds and our hearts. Holy Spirit, we want your presence here. And as I step back, once again, articulate my speech, clarify and direct my thoughts, we all will be very careful to give you the praise and glory for what you're about to do. For we ask this through and by the power and the merit and the authority that's in the name of your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So, all of these things going on. I love it that Paul was such a good example to Timothy. He said, you want to know how to continue? Look at what God's allowed me to do. Look at these seven attributes. And from these seven attributes, understand the persecutions that I went through. And God delivered me out of every single one of them. And may I say this? God will still deliver us over and over and over again. I want to thank every one of you for praying for me. And I talked to actually another person today that was diagnosed with even a worse type of cancer than I had. And I talked to him about Invita. And it was a friend that he had worked for almost 60 years. He said, would you talk to this guy? I said, I sure will. I talked to him about Invita. I told him about the godly aspect of the ministry that they have. It's not just medical, but it's spiritual. I'll be there by this 22nd. I said, I'll be gone, but hey, you know, come on. And in fact, the lady that talked to him, she knew me. And so he said, you know, I feel like I'm in good hands. I said, you are. You're in good hands. And his name is Duke. And so if you want to pray for Duke, please do so. But the things that Paul talked to Timothy about that we receive through and by the eternal word of God in the Holy Spirit, the first one is doctrine. Continue in doctrine. Now you think about that. What is doctrine? Doctrine is the word of God. Amen. Amen. Right. And there's one doctrine. It's the book of Revelation, not the book of Revelations. And there's one doctrine. It's the doctrine of God. We need to know the word and read the word and obey the word and pray the word and live the word. That's one of the answers. Hey, never outgrow the Bible. When you pick it up, realize this is the only thing, aside from our eternal soul, that'll get out of here in one tact. All other books will perish. But the Bible and our eternal soul, two things that will continue to exist for eternity. So don't you think we should get together? So, hey, when you open up God's Word, say, Lord, open up my understanding, my heart, to your eternal word. Hey, make sure that you respect God's word. Someone said, you know, hey, I just praise the Lord for the Bible. Do you understand how many people died being burned to death simply because they owned a copy of God's Word, who still die today in some of the third world nations because their only crime is owning a Bible. So we need to make the Bible the foundation of our life. It's our belief system. See, all other books are dark planets. This is the sun that puts the light out to all the books. John Adams said this. He said, you know, I think it's very interesting and sad that these novels come out, these fiction books come out, and people run to these books with great glee and interest, and yet they ignore God's Word. Amen. They ignore the eternal Word of God. Hey, the Bible, the truth, the standard upon which our faith rests is God and His Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst. Someone said that today. He said, you know, the Bible is God. I said, well, that's true. Because the Bible was made flesh. This is the mind of Christ. Amen? Anyone ever asked you, what do you think about this? You know? And I've said this before. It doesn't make any difference what I think. Huh? I get asked this a lot on Capitol Hill. What do you think? It makes no difference what I think. Huh? And I said, it doesn't make any difference what you think. What? I said, all that makes any difference is God's Word. Because we have the mind of Christ. It's our standard. We need to bring all those things, all those imaginations into captivity through and by God's Word. Hey, I don't know about you, but our standard is that by which all else is measured. Spiritually, civilly. Hey, even the Constitution is biblically based. Over 20 different truths in the Constitution. And it's an amazing thing to me. Men of faith and courage, and from that courage, victory and liberty here in America, were all guided by God's Word. That's the only difference in our nation and any other nation, is that we were guided by the Word of God. And so we need to understand that and realize that they gathered around the standard of liberty, that they would pray before battles. I wish that there were some photographs of the War for Independence. Now, there is some of the Civil War where you see men gathered around praying before they went into battle. And in fact, the woman that wrote the famous song, "Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory of the Coming of the Lord," she was saying about she saw the prayers of the in the watchfires of the dews and damps. She was on like the 8th floor of the Willard in Washington, D.C., looking at all of the tents that were set up and all the little campfires and the men standing out there reading their Bible around the fires and praying to God for the next battle. The Bible is something that we need to continue with and have great, excitement about it. It says this in 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapon of our warfare, the weapon through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's our weapon. Our weapon is God's Word. That's why when we walk into the offices on Capitol Hill, the very first thing that we want God to allow us to personify is His Word. Listen to this. An address to the Continental Army before the Battle of Long Island, Tuesday, August 27th, 1776. Quote, "The time is now near at hand, which must probably determine whether Americans are to be free men or slaves, whether they are to have any property they can call their own, whether their houses and farms are to be pillaged and destroyed and themselves consigned to a state of wretchedness from which no human efforts will deliver them. The fate of unborn millions will now depend, under God, on the courage and conduct of this army." He talked about the cruel and unrelenting enemy that left them no choice but brave resistance. That's what we need to follow as well, because we're in spiritual warfare. Amen. Whether you look at it social, economical, political, education, it's all social welfare. I don't know about you. I'm glad that when President Trump gets in, he's going to put a stop to these indoctrination stations that we call our public school systems. Amen. He's going to put a stop to them mutilating our young people. And that's one thing that they even referenced in the victory speech. I mean, elementary school children that can't decide what to wear or what to eat, and teachers are talking them into being mutilated to change their sex. That is out of hell. That's a doctrine of the devil himself. So we, as God's people, need to keep first in foremost God's word. That's the anchor that every one of our hearts and souls need to find, that rock and hold on. I love that old story about the old song about the anchor, my anchor holds. Amen. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but my anchor, I've felt my heart tied close and tight to that rock. And when the storms come, I can feel that cord pull, but it stands fast. Amen. Because it's anchored in the rock of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Wow. I'm telling you, folks, I'm excited about what's to come. And I know there's going to be attacks. And I know that there's going to be battles. But I don't know about you. I'm ready. Amen. Amen. That's why God kind of tuned me up these last 14 weeks. Amen. Because I'm ready to roll now. I'm ready to get back. I mean, I'm like an old warhouse horse that's kind of stomping because I hear the horns blowing and I want to get into the battle. Amen. I'm kind of pulling against the grip of the old, what we call it, the bit in the horse's mouth. I want to get in there. That's why I'm all ready. Hey, I was in Georgia this last week. Huge church. Dr. Sammy Allen's a former church where he had the famous camp meetings for so many years. And it wasn't at the camp meeting that's coming. You know, my wife and I it's kind of interesting. My wife and I have her first camp meeting ever, okay? And I don't know if you know anything about camp meetings, but people get kind of wild at camp meetings. Okay? And in fact, Stennett Ballou, Brother Allen's associate pastor, was with me at a camp meeting in Arkansas. And boy, these guys in camp meetings, they'll stand up and start talking back to you. They're preaching at you and you're preaching at them. You know, and I was kind of, you know, prepared for that. They'll stand up and say amen. They won't just raise their hand. They won't just say amen. They'll stand up and sometimes they'll stand up and they'll start running. I mean, they'll run around the church, take their handkerchief out and be waving it. Well, glory. Well, sure enough. Yeah, there we go. Well, we're at Sammy Allen's camp meeting, and my wife, you know, she's a city girl, never been to a camp meeting before, and someone was preaching. I was getting ready to go up next, and this guy stood up. He said, "Well, glory!" He started running. He started running. My wife said, "What's he doing?" I said, "He's running." She said, she picked up her phone. She said, "Should I film it?" I went, "No, don't." Don't film it. It's sacred. You know. I heard a story of an elderly lady, and she was used to that same type of thing. And it was at Harold Clayton's church. And she was old and a little bit slower. And she stood up and she said, "Glory." And she started, she thought she was running, but she was like she was like this. And she was that handkerchief was going, "Whoa." And she went all the way around the church. I mean, it took a while, okay? He went through several points, and then she stopped right in front of Brother Clayton, and she looked at him, she said, "I think I'm going to go again." He said, "Help yourself, sister. Go right ahead. But I was preaching there at his church, not the camp meeting, this last Sunday. Huge church. Wonderful people. And I told him, I said, "No matter what happens, God wants to do something unique in our nation." And I gave the invitation. The altars were filled. The aisles were filled with people pouring out their heart to God. You know why? Because it's Bible-based. That's why. Because revival is something that God wants us to have. He wants us to have revival more than we want it. We just need to bring our want-to in line with His want-to. Amen? And get hungry for it and thirsty for it and start praying for it as I just, look, I want to see it. I don't want to listen to the left-wing politicizing things and old smutty-faced weaponizing things. God's people need to biblicize things, amen? We need to stand on God's word. And so we need to keep our hearts in tune with that. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. See, you don't have to worry about what you say if your heart is in tune with God's word. You won't ever have to worry about it. So doctrine is what we receive from God. Secondly, our manner of life. That's the second thing that Paul tells Timothy, our manner of life. So that's what we give back to God. He gives us his doctrine. We give him our manner of life. So what is our manner of life? Hey, we must live our lives based upon belief in all areas. We can't compartmentalize our faith. I don't know how people say, well, yeah, I'm a Democrat and I'm a Christian. I don't see how they can say that. Sorry. If there's any Democrats in here, okay, I'll talk to you later, okay? But I cannot see how someone that is on a platform where they're against life, against the traditional family, against Israel, against our borders, against the Second Amendment, and say that they're a Christian. I'm sorry. I can't see it. They say, well, I compartmentalize it. Nonsense. We're supposed to look at everything the same, all levels of life. And in fact, we're supposed to treat everyone the same. Amen? Say, what do you mean? Hey, look, when I talked to President Trump, I talked with him no differently than I did a janitor walking down the Capitol. You know why? Because we're all special in God's eyes. He's no respecter of persons. Why should I be a respecter of persons? That's our manner of life, you see, so that we can go forward with the duality of citizenship that we have. And I'm so thankful that our country actually did something miraculous. And watching the news last night, you know, and then every once in a while I turn it to a liberal station. And they were almost crying, you know. They were talking about, you know, well, we'll have a chance here. And then that chance evaporated. And then I turned to the next station. Well, we need to, you know, have and look to here because we have a chance there. And that evaporated. Then I turned to the next station and a liberal saying, well, this is what we need to do to oppose Trump. Yeah, you mean so that we can continue to kill the unborn? Amen. So we can continue to let people in into our nation that are our enemies? And I'm not talking about the Hispanic, the Latino people. I'm talking about Iranians. I'm talking about the Chinese. I'm talking about the drug lords, the sex traffickers. I saw a sign. Was that in Arizona, honey? What was it here? And it meant, it was beautiful. Human traffickers for Kamala. I said, God bless that person who ever put that out there. You know? But hey, our manner of life should personify who we are. You know, we need to understand so clearly that, and I'm trying to hurry on, respecting the time, and realize, look, the world wants peace, don't they? They want answers, don't they? There is an old, great old man by the name of William General Booth, and founder of the Salvation Army. And I mean, guest speaker at Oxford University. And his ministry had brought tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people to the Lord over in England, out of the squalor of where many of them lived. You know, I don't know about you, even though we like these castles and all these splendored, yesteryear homes of the monarchy, of the royalty. Do you understand? They were built while the rest of the nation lived in complete and abject poverty. So even though I may enjoy the architecture, I realize why that is, because there was a minuscule amount of people that were living way up here and the rest of the population were living down in the dregs, literally, of mud and the blood and infection and everything else. But General Booth reached out to them and started saving those people. Well, Oxford represented the best and the brightest of the Great Britain. Hundreds of young men sat with great anticipation as General Booth was announced. And there was a flowing and flowery introduction. General Booth walked up and he said, "Young men, I have three words for you." Talking about the manner of life. Three words. And everyone was so silent you could hear a pin drop. Hundreds and hundreds of the next leaders of Great Britain. He said the three words are this: others. 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 And he sat down. We're saying our manner of life should be for others. We should live our life for others. You know, I was being cared for by some really, really godly young ladies, nurses, and I said, "You know, this is not a job to you, is it?" And they'd look at me almost like, "How did I know?" I said, "This isn't a job. This is a calling to you, isn't it?" And they were kind of a little embarrassed, but they smiled and said, "Yes." I said, "It's a noble calling." Because I had nurses, I don't know how many nurses that would say, "Chuck, I'm praying for you." Because they were young ladies of great faith and godly young ladies, as were doctors, receptionists, technicians. But, you know, I thought, this is what God's people need to be. You should never, ever take time away from someone that needs to talk to you for what you want to do. Now, there are some things you may need to do, but you should always try to make time for others. Amen. And look for people that are in need of the salvation that's in Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, seek after them. Be soul conscious. When I'm going through an airport, I see people and they look so lonely and so, you know, basically isolated. And I give them a tract. I said, "Let me give you something to read that my wife and I wrote. It's good news from a far country." I said, "It'll tell you how you can know for sure when you die you're going to heaven." We gave one to a lady today, and she said, "This isn't religion." I said, "No, it's relationship." Amen. I said, "I'm a Baptist, but this is not about Baptists. This is about how you can know for sure when you die you're going to heaven. Being a Baptist won't do anything for you, but if you're going to heaven, you might as well go first class." Amen. And so, but in any case, she took it and she said, and this is what she said when she took it. She said, "I'm a born-again Christian." She said, "I was brought up in a Baptist church." I said, "Well, that's good, but you know the Lord?" "Oh, yeah, I know the Lord." I said, "That's wonderful." See, our manner of life should be about soul winning, soul conscious, looking for someone, praying for someone to talk to. When was the last time you prayed, "Lord, would you bring someone by my steps that I could give a tract to, that I could see come to know Jesus Christ as Savior?" You know, it says in the book of John, "Other men labored, and I entered into their labors." I like watering. I like sowing the seed, watering. But I really, Brother Don, I like bringing the increase. Brother Joe, I like taking the Bible and seeing that spark of eternity, Brother Moore. Coming to the eyes of that person where you can see the Holy Spirit gives it to them. You explain it, Holy Spirit reveals it, and it's like, you can just see it. See that spark. That's wonderful. See, we need to be praying, "Lord, bring someone by my path, and I'll be ready to give them a tract, to talk to them about the Lord." Amen. Hey, I was in a room by myself. I don't know if I related this to you or not, but another lady came in. The nurse was tending to both of us. We were the only two in the room, both with IVs set up. Oh, by the way, I got my permacath out, so I don't have two things coming out of my chest anymore. It's kind of comfortable. Amen. I can sleep a little better, okay? But we both had permacaths, and we were getting IVs, and I just started saying, "Where are you from?" And "How long you been here?" And she said, "I'm suffering from Lyme's disease, and I'm here to get it cured." And One thing led to another, and she accepted the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Right there. You know why? Because when you start praying for people that you can talk to, God starts entrusting you with those opportunities. He brings people by knowing that you are going to give them a tract and talk to them. Amen? And it just builds and builds and builds. And so look, as the world looks for peace, we need to be the ones that are ready. Our tongues are ready writer, so that we can immediately give them the peace that passes all understanding. I had someone talk to me today, and he said, what was it like when you first got diagnosed? Were you worried? Were you concerned when someone told you you had cancer? I said, to be very honest with you, I was never worried. I was never anxious. Didn't have any angst. I just had a calmness, a peace that passed all understanding. It wasn't me. It was God.
Amen.
And someone texted my wife, and a well-meaning pastor's wife. She said, look, I'm going to call you and we can cry together. My wife texted her back, thank you so much for your compassion. But you see, I have nothing to cry about, because I have complete peace that my husband is going to have complete victory through and by the Lord.
Amen.
And she's been the same way. Nurse Joe, right over there. Amen. And so our manner of life should just exude that everywhere we go. So people, I was at a Cracker Barrel not too long ago, and this lady walked up, and David, she was the grandmother, and she had a little baby. She walked up and started handing me her baby. I said, what are you doing? She said, well, you looked like a nice man, so I just thought I would let you hold my grandbaby for a minute. I said, well, thank you, but kind of strange. The mother was over there going, Grandma, are you losing it? What's going on here? You don't even know this guy. But when your manner of life is the Lord, don't you think people can see it? People can see it. Amen? And they'll ask you for the hope that lieth within you. That's what we need to do. Number three, very quickly, purpose. Our doctrine, what we get from God, our manner of life that we give back to God, our purpose. I love 2 Timothy 3:16, where it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That is what's right. For reproof, that's what's not right. For correction, that's how to get right. For instruction in righteousness, that's how to stay right. Amen?
Amen.
So I just want to stay right. Because I realize God wants us to be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you and I shine as lights of the world, holding forth the word of life. I don't know how many times I read that. It never, ever gets old. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He also wept over his national capital. And so soul winning is simply bringing others to the knowledge of the truth. And that truth is Jesus Christ. And so we need to realize that our purpose should always be, you might say, threefold, okay? And I touched on this in another message, declaration that God is, determination not to know anything but Jesus Christ, and a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Number four, faith. Faith. Just continue in faith. Continue to grow in faith. Do you know, from reading God's word, we've all grown in faith tonight. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
So every scripture that Brother Moore reads to you, that I've read to you tonight, it's increased all of our faith. Isn't that amazing? That's really good use of time. Just to sit here and let someone read to you, hey, my wife listens to the Bible, she's just increasing her faith. And that's what we need to do. We need to continue in faith every day, just a little bit more faith than we had yesterday. Every day, just a little bit more love than we had yesterday. Okay? Now, in saying that, continuing in faith, say, what are you saying, Brother Harding? Faith gives us a greater appreciation for, a greater love for God, and a greater love for one another.
Amen?
Amen? Now, my wife and I, we've been married for 49 years. Okay? We're going on to 50. Amen? And someone said to me, what are you going to do for your 50th anniversary? I went, I haven't even thought about that. I looked at my wife. I said, I need to start thinking about that. She said, yes, you do. Yes, you do. You need to start thinking about that. But you know, my wife knows I love her. But she still likes to hear me say it.
Yes,
sir. Amen? And I say it to her a lot. God knows we love him. But he wants us to tell him. He wants us to tell him over and over again. Oh, Lord, I sure do love you. Lord, thank you for sending your son. See, that's faith. Growing in God. Growing closer to God. And every day falling in love with God. Look, I want to love my wife more tomorrow than I did today.
Amen?
Amen. You want that, don't you? You want Don to love you more, Joy, tomorrow than he did today? She said, yeah, you betcha. You betcha.
Amen.
You want Brother Moore to love you? Yeah, sure you do. I mean, who wouldn't, right?
Yeah.
And I want to love God more tomorrow. Just a little bit more than I loved him today.
Right.
Amen? That's faith.
Amen.
That's growing in faith. Amen? And that's what we all should be working at.
Right.
Telling God, I just want you to know, you know, and I've said this before, but it merits repetition. That's why David was a man after God's own heart. That's why David, even being a man and messing up like he did, years later God said, I'm going to do this for my namesake and for my servant David's sake. Why? Because David just didn't love God. He was in love with God. He had a love for God that was so encompassing. Amen? Hey, the love of the world is enmity. So don't love the world. Our love for the world should be nothing compared to our love for God. And so that's what we need to continue in. Just keep on increasing in faith and love God. Hey, you know all the scriptures that talk about the fact that faith is a victory that overcomes the world, that we're justified by faith, that we live by faith. And so, hey, we need to understand, I don't live by explanations. I don't live by briefings or news reports. I live by God and what he tells me in the Bible. That's what I live by. That's what I need to continue to focus on, not circumstances. Too many people focusing on circumstances. I want to focus on God. I want to look through circumstances and see God standing there and saying to me, no matter how bad it is, I got this. I got this. Too many times we look through God and we see the circumstances. We need to look through the circumstances and see God. That's faith. Remember this, God is not, there's no problem, let me just say it this way, there's no problem too big for God. So, let's go on. The last, excuse me, we're next to the last thing, is long suffering. That means that we need to endure those attacks. Say, well, someone afflicted me. Someone wasn't good to me. Someone stabbed me in the back. And I'm going to teach them. I'm just not going to forgive them. I'm thinking, when someone tells me that, oh, how old did you say you were? You say you're in the eighth grade? Excuse me, eighth graders, if there's any. Okay, but you know what David said in Psalm 119:71? It is good for me that I've been afflicted. It is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Isn't that something? That's such a strange but powerful verse. Hey, the Lord had long suffering. He still has long suffering. Say, how do you know? Because I see how some of these people drive on the road. You know, and I mean, they're crazy. And I say, that just proves God's long-suffering, because that person would, if it was me, I'd say, okay, you're coming home, okay? Or you're not coming home, okay? Okay? But that's, he's not me. But too many times, we aren't quick to forgive. Well, you don't understand what they did, Brother Harding. Really? I don't see any nails in your palms. It doesn't make a difference. Well, they didn't apologize to me. They don't have to apologize to you for you to forgive them. Look, you forgive them. Because if you don't, it's like grabbing a hot coal and holding on. It's going to hurt you more than anyone, and it's going to hurt the people around you. So be very quick to forgive and to start praying for people. That's living in the likeness of Christ. That's liberating. And you say, well, they disparaged my reputation. Look, your reputation is what men think you are. Your character is what God knows you are. And Charles Haddon Spurgeon even said, look, when I gave God everything, I also gave him my reputation. So how do we exercise that? Well, in Acts 24 and verse 16, herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Amen? And 1 Peter 2:15, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So just keep on doing what's right. Amen? Just keep on doing what's right. Number 6, charity. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. So just keep on continuing to love God. Look, build, don't destroy. Amen? Amen. With this tongue right here. That little member. Huh? See it? Huh? It's ugly, isn't it?
Yeah.
Stick your tongue out. That's that. You look at the ancient idols, they all have their tongue sticking out. Because they're sticking their tongue out at God. See, there's a reason why the old idols of ancient times had their tongue out, because that's the member that is set on fire of hell. And your conversation will be one of two ways, up or down. And I've heard people say, did you hear? I said, where are we going? Would you hear about this? No, wait. That's not my circle. Yeah, but it's true. Yeah, but are you speaking the truth in love? Because you're as much of the rumor mill if you don't say anything and you just listen. I'm not going to listen to it. Amen. How many ever had tongue? Many ever had tongue? No one's ever beef tongue? Oh, 2, 3. Okay. Finally confessing. 4. Okay. Oh, and tongue? Tongue? Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Now, when my mom and dad, they were tied pretty quick and pretty close to the Europeans. My grandmother on the one side spoke with an Irish accent. Grandmother on the other side spoke with an English accent. So they were very close to their European roots. And my mom would make tongue once in a while for us. Now, I didn't know what it was when I was a kid. She said, we're having tongue. Okay. It didn't register what she was saying. I was hungry. This was before video games. You know, we were out doing productive things, you know, like chasing each other and playing, you know, the bad guy, the good guy. Climbing trees, falling out, breaking our arms, those healthy things, okay? And when we got home, we were hungry. And my mom, she had it skinned and all sliced up. We put mustard on it. A little different consistency, if you remember, okay? And until one day, when I walked in, and it finally registered. And my mom was there before the pressure cooker. How many remember the pressure cooker? Ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. And she took the top off and went, shh. And I said, Mom, when you say we're going to have tongue, do you mean tongue? I know that's very profound, okay? And she's, what do you mean, son? And she undid the pressure cooker, and she stuck a fork in there, and she picked up a whole beef tongue. You said, she's exaggerating. You're exaggerating. No. Have you ever seen a tongue lick its ear? That tongue was that long. And she took it from the pressure cooker and brought it over to the plate, and it waved at me. It said, I'll see you at the table. See you at the table. And it was. And then when she laid it down, the plate went flap. And it had all the taste buds on it. And I told my mom, I don't think I'm hungry. And I never ate tongue again. I said, why'd you say all that? because we need to be careful of our tongues.
Right.
We need to make sure our tongues are speaking the good things of God.
Amen.
And not criticizing people, not tearing down people, but building people and encouraging people and understanding that we can heal rather than wound, praise rather than criticize, go to God in prayer and not to man in maliciousness. It's all right there. Last, patience. Patience. James chapter 1, 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, there it is, worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect. That means mature, complete, wanting nothing. Do you understand? George Washington was a patient man. He fought 8 years and 6 months without ever going back to Mount Vernon. Stayed with his men. When it seemed there was no hope, he stayed with his men. When they were nearing starvation and cold, he stayed with his men. When they didn't have enough ammo to even fight the next battle, he stayed with his men. And we live near Annapolis, where Washington turned down the monarchy of the Americas. The military, many of his closest friends in the government at the time, the Continental Congress, all wanted him to become king. He's the only man in history that truly, and I'm talking about Cromwell and all the rest of them, they were just holding, they never did what Washington did. He turned down the monarchy of the Americas. And he gave the power back to the people. Amen. The King of England said, if Washington does that, that'll be one of the greatest things a man's ever done. He'll be one of the greatest men that's ever lived. Washington's been a most despised and disparaged character by revisionist historians that are godless. But he was such a man of prayer, men walked in on him on his knees and didn't want to move, because they felt they'd bump into the Holy Spirit of God. And so we need to simply just have patience. Now, don't pray for patience. And don't you dare pray for patience for me, because patience will come. It'll come by God and by His hand. But what shall we do in perilous times? Just continue. Just continue in those seven things. And when you're almost like, oh, my car won't start. Doesn't make any difference. God has allowed it not to start for a reason. I wish I could get through this quicker. God has a reason for everything. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with, what? Patience. The race that is set before us. So let's just be patient. Doctrine, our standard. Manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. That's what we need to do, no matter what. And see, I stopped right at the right time. Someone had their clock set, so there you go. I'm done. But I hope that'll be a blessing to you. It's been a blessing to me my whole life. And so we have to understand that God wants us to continue on and do whatever we can to praise His name and bring glory to Him and to keep our nation free, because keeping our nation free keeps this pulpit free. Keeps the gospel unhindered. Nothing will ever stop the gospel. But I would much rather preach from a pulpit than prison. I'd much rather give out tracts in a comfortable manner than just have someone say, What'd you do? He just gave, that's a hate crime. I don't want to see that ever come to America. Now with the election last night, we're good, I think, for a while. So let's use this space of grace to continue.